Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. Here's what you need to know. On Tuesday, April 4th, 2017, the popular soda brand Pepsi teamed with model and entrepreneur Kendall Jenner to try to capitalize on a country in serious crisis and put out one of the most tone-deaf advertisements that's ever been assembled. The Pepsi marketing team watched the news just like anyone else, but where we all saw a nation in turmoil, they saw dollar signs. A little bit of context. There had been a rise in demonstrations and protests in the 2010s, many under the banner or affiliated with Black Lives Matter, a social movement that seeks to highlight racism and racial inequality experienced by Black people. Protests and marches included ones inspired by the killings of Eric Garner in New York, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, and others. There were massive protests against the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline in April of 2016. Further, when Donald Trump was elected president in November of 2016, there were numerous demonstrations across the country, including the March for Women in January of 2017. Kendall Jenner was just 21 at the time and had been raised into fame, having been a cast member of the popular reality show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She had been modeling since she was 14 and had breakout years in 2014 and 2015. She walked for top-tier labels and was a brand ambassador for Estee Lauder. Pepsi saw Jenner as a key tastemaker in the Gen Z market and someone who represented what they were trying to achieve with their new campaign. The ad opens with a sequence of shots that show a massive march down a city street. Attractive protesters hold up blue and red signs that have peace symbols and anodyne phrases like, "Join the conversation." They're mostly smiling and having a good time. No one seems to know why they're taking to the streets, but one thing is clear, the revolution is on. This is intercut with vignettes of young city dwellers working on art projects in their apartments, drinking Pepsi, and watching the commotion. Many of these artists join in on the protests, which could easily be confused with a parade. Instruments break out, there's dancing and general jubilation. The protest eventually passes by Kendall Jenner, wearing a blonde wig in the middle of a photo shoot. Kendall is curious about the hubbub, but it isn't until she makes eye contact with a sexy cellist that she feels called to join in. In a dramatic flourish, she rips off her wig, wipes her lipstick off her face, and walks into the crowd. Once among the protesters, she finds an open cooler and grabs a Pepsi. She saunters to the front of the crowd, politely nodding to her fellow hot protesters, until she reaches a police barricade. She casually walks up to one of the officers and hands him her Pepsi. He sips it, and the crowd goes wild. People high-five and hug. The ad finishes with the words, "Live bolder, live louder, live for now," underneath the famous Pepsi logo. This commercial fixed racism and police violence. Just kidding, it didn't. There was immense backlash, and Pepsi pulled it within a day. Fun facts, aka death stats. According to Forbes, Kendall Jenner made $17 million from modeling deals like this in 2016. In 2017, Kendall Jenner became the first model since Cindy Crawford in 1992 to have her own global advertising campaign for Pepsi. Pepsi pulled the ad less than 24 hours after its release. It took Jenner 6 months to break her silence and share her thoughts on the controversy. Within 48 hours, the video got nearly 1.6 million views on YouTube, with five times as many thumbs down votes as thumbs up votes. In 2017, PepsiCo was number 44 on the Fortune 500 list. They currently sit at number 46. According to Forbes, Kendall Jenner was the highest paid model in the world in 2017, earning $22 million. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Sequoia Holmes. Hi, Sequoia.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're so excited to have you on the show. I want to tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast. You are the host of Black People Love Paramore podcast. Please let us know a little bit more.
Yeah, so I host a podcast, Black People Love Paramore, about the common and uncommon interests of Black people that mainstream media doesn't necessarily associate with Black people, but we know that we like. So that includes Paramore, but it's not limited to. We also have episodes about Tony Hawk, Ariana Grande, anime, the Mean Girls, Degrassi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Pop culture podcast.
Great.
Love it. I love it. I think that's so funny.
How much do you like Paramore personally?
I would say I'm probably about a 7.5, 8 on the Paramore scale.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest Paramore fan, but I
do
listen.
That's pretty high though.
It is pretty high, but I do listen and enjoy. So yeah.
The well, only exception has, that's my like Paramore song, you know?
Oh yeah. That was a good era. That's my favorite era.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I really like Paramore too. So
nice. Anybody but taste. It makes sense.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
AI is keeping me up at night. I'm sure that is a common answer that you've heard. I'm very nervous about that. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm wildly addicted to TikTok keeps me up at night, literally.
Right.
Yeah.
AI related too, I guess, right?
You know what I mean? The algorithms are controlling my life and I don't appreciate it. I didn't consent to this. I didn't sign up to this. The fact that everything we eat has so much sugar in it is concerning me.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything is concerning.
Yeah. You know what is even more concerning is that somehow we probably did consent to this. We probably checked something right. off. We probably signed some. How many times do you sign up for a new app and you're like, I accept the terms?
Rebecca, please. You're right. You're absolutely right. But did I consent to being born on this planet?
No.
No. It's the one it's thing we can't consent language. To.
Yeah. There's that. No terms and conditions for that.
Rebecca, you know it also has a lot of sugar.
What? Pepsi.
There you go.
I was in a different route. I was going, you know, we also did not consent to this Pepsi ad.
Yes.
That's so weird.
But sugar too. I mean, when was the last time you watched this ad, Sequoia?
Well, you know what? It's been a minute. I intended to watch it before I came on the podcast. Didn't end up happening that way. But
it's
been
a minute.
But it stays fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
It's one you don't forget. And for our listeners, if you haven't watched this commercial, I don't
Stop.
Know, maybe
Stop
pause,
now
pull
and yeah.
over, make sure to, it's a two and, first of all, it's kind of long. It's like
yeah,
two
it's
and
a short
half
film.
Minutes. So give yourself this 2.5 minutes to watch it because wow. It was a good laugh. I hadn't had one of those good laughs in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, do you know what year this came out? I think it came out, what, in like 2020? Was it 2021 or 2020?
2017.
No, 2017.
Stop it.
Oh, right yeah, after Trump.
So much has happened. I understand why you think that because so much it's like yeah really? That, yeah
yeah I definitely thought it was a 2020 play like oh yeah no. All, like oh okay we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna fix the world with Pepsi but okay 2017 we were still doing it.
What does that tell you though? Well you thought it was 2010
I thought 2020. It was 2020.
Yeah, I know. The fact that even after this we brands have continued to yes. like clump onto this narrative or to this branding opportunity is pretty gross.
And
that
I
says
also,
a lot about America.
I also think like what you hear a lot and as you talk to people these days is so many people feel like I've heard this so much like time makes no sense to me anymore. Like I have no
so
concept
true.
Of time. And right. Sequoia, what you were saying at the beginning about like watching TikTok, like when I would watch TikTok, you look down and you look up and like 3 hours.
The sunset.
Have
yeah.
telling you, it's all consuming.
So I think like the, like there's a, and I don't want to, maybe I'm rushing things, but maybe we can put on the board just like the inundation of content.
Like, yeah.
That like has that. Been, that has been ever since like
yeah.
the commodification of our attention,
yes.
right? Like since like the dawn of Facebook and like you're saying the algorithms and TikTok and Instagram, that like inundation
I think we need this.
Of
yeah.
content
yeah.
just distorts reality in so many ways.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. I feel you wholeheartedly.
And you know what is also impressive is that this somehow broke through the content.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's Kendall Jenner, right?
I
mean,
know.
She was big time at the time. I guess still is, but like.
Yes, huge at the time, even bigger now. So.
I know, it didn't hurt her at all.
I didn't hurt her, exactly. So, look, with a few things to put up on the board just to start. Chris, you wanted the inundation of time or
Got
the
it.
Inundation
content,
of content?
Inundation. Yeah,
content.
I do think we have to put Trump up on the board.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this is, let's give everyone some context here for when this commercial came out. This is from the New York Times. Thousands of people across the country marched, shut down highways, burned effigies, and shouted angry slogans to protest the election of Donald Trump as president. The demonstrations fueled by social media continued into the early hours of Thursday. This was right after he was elected. The crowd swelled as the night went on, but remained mostly peaceful. Protesters were reported in cities as diverse as Dallas and Oakland and included marches in Boston, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, and Washington, and at college campuses in California, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania. So this was like all over the country. Mm-hmm. This is
right.
from history.com. Mm-hmm. The idea of the Women's March began on the social networking website Facebook. It's funny when they call it the networking website. Okay, thank you for that explanation. The day after the election, when a Hawaii woman named Teresa Shook voiced her opinion that a pro-woman march was needed as a reaction to Trump's victory. After thousands of women signed up to march, veteran activists and organizers began planning a large-scale event scheduled for January 21st, 2017, the day after the inauguration. Leading up to the Women's March on Washington, the organizers expected some 200,000 people to attend. As it turned out, as many as 500,000 people showed up with buses, trains, airplanes, and packed cars ferrying large groups of protesters to the Capitol from far-flung locations. Many of the marchers donned pink clothing for the occasion, as well as the unofficial uniform of the march, pink knit hats with cat-like ears. So right. This was a huge, you know, millions more people took, you know, participated in marches all across the 50 states.
Marches were a thing.
I mean, they estimated it was something like 4.1 million people took to the streets.
And that's just like a reaction to his presidency. That's like totally separate from all of the marches that were going on against, you know, police violence and other like atrocities. That was just like, we have been for the past, like, ever since Trump was elected, like pretty protest, pro-protest. Like there's been a lot of that in like the social zeitgeist, I feel like. So yeah. Of course, Pepsi needed to cash in on that somehow.
Right.
So I wonder how much of it was a response to the 2014 protests. I believe 2014 was the year that Trayvon Martin happened.
Yes.
And that was like the start of the BLM stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like Pepsi, it was probably lightly related there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. And this was something that was already, it felt like it was in our conscience.
Yeah.
And this election really bubbled up to the surface. And the actual commercial came out in April. So the marches were in January. The commercial comes out in April, just a few months later. Mm-hmm. And it is a bomb.
Yeah. There's a really amazing SNL parody of it where they're like on the set filming the commercial. I don't know if you guys have seen this. And that's like the director, and they're like, all right, we're about to shoot. And he's like calling his family to tell him he's on set. And like he explains the commercials to his family. And like you can immediately hear them and like, you shouldn't do that. Like you shouldn't touch that. Like they're like, oh, we're exploiting people. And it's like very funny, kind of just like there were all the signs there that you were exploiting Black people, Asian people, just like protesters and like real issues in general. It's just like nobody saw the signs about how terrible an idea this was.
It is. It's confounding. I mean, because these are big. I mean, I've done a couple commercials before, and the brand representatives, there's like a group of like 12 of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And what they do is like, as an actor, they bring you with your little outfit on, and like one of them's like, can the hat be tilted like a little bit to the left? Like they're like stressing out about the most minor details.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe we put losing the forest through the trees here or something like that.
This is something that will surprise you. This was an in-house agency. And so I feel like I want to let's put up Pepsi's marketing team up on the board.
Okay.
And this is from our listener, Kevin Gottlieb. When an advertiser chooses to do its own work in-house without an outside agency to guide them, the results can be alarmingly disastrous. And we know Kevin, and we know he's in the advertising field. So it's
just like nobody on the outside being like saying no. Everyone's just like yes to each other in the room. Like, this is a great idea.
Yes, this is from the Hollywood Reporter. Mike Middleton, head of creative at Dentsu Mobius Media. Do you know them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I worked with Dentsu. Okay.
Not for Dentsu, but I worked with Dentsu. That's
okay. Okay. So, but this is not bad. He's just commenting on the situation. Mm-hmm. So the Hollywood Reporter told the Hollywood Reporter that a lot of the issues surrounding this ad likely stemmed from the use of an in-house creative team. Clients are often keen to try and cut out agencies because we're more expensive, but agencies are paid to give wise counsel, and this sort of thing would have been flagged, says Middleton. Middleton. Middleton added, any agency worth its salt wouldn't have allowed this work if they knew it was bad out the door. And if nothing else, a real agency would have been a throat to strangle, somebody that the client could blame.
There you go.
So you're almost paying for that too.
Right. Oh, wow. Come on, Densu. Good job. Right. Nice.
So we should say Pepsi cutting corners or cutting costs, right? By avoiding the agency.
Mm-hmm. Sequoia, what is your connection to the advertising agency?
And I also work in marketing. And
oh, there you go.
Advertising. Okay. When I was working at, I don't want to say what company, a behemoth.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They use Densu as their marketing.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the company hasn't gotten in trouble lately. It's been all good. And they just started using Densu. So
that's why.
There's that. Yeah. Densu's going doing well. I believe in them.
So yeah, exactly. Cutting corners, wanting to keep it in house. The idea that there's not a lot of outside voices, I think, is really important. And that kind of filters into my next point, which also another listener also made. This is from Ale Aiden. Not having a focus group with enough people of color in them. I feel like there was one person in the room who wasn't white and their voice wasn't heard as loudly as others in the room. So I think Ale is making an assumption. I don't know if they actually know that one person was in the room or if it's an assumption that only one, you know, but the point is well made. You know, there are there's a lack of diversity when it comes to the people up top. We know this. This is a historical situation.
I also just feel like even if there was one person up in the room, like the white people in the room should also just be doing better. Like they should be watching this and being like, this is bad, right?
Yeah.
Like we shouldn't need, yes, we need the diversity, but like everyone should be like attuned to how like tone deaf an ad like this is, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And now as a black girlie who works in marketing in this specific industry, I can't even tell you how many times I have been one or maybe like one of a few black people in a room where an idea is being created. And I'm like flagging, hey, I don't know that this is actually that good of an idea. Like, I think maybe we should pivot for X, Y, and Z reasons. And it feels like I'm there for decoration to be seen and not heard. Yeah, it feels like I'm there to be seen and not heard. And when I get my opinion and it's not taken seriously, I'm like, hey, I can't care about your company more than you care about your company. So if you want to drown this way, I'm going to help you. I raised my flag. I did my job.
Right.
That's it. You go for it, Pepsi. Have a good time.
There's only so much you can do. I mean, what else can you do?
Well, that comment
be enough to fight for your company.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that
perspective makes me wonder, Sequoia, like if this was an inside, like somebody saw the red flags, but were like, but then like in response, they like kind of nudged Pepsi towards it. They were like, no, you know what? You fall flat on your face.
Right. Like, well, maybe that speaks to like a lack of like diversity in the actual executive suite, you know, like if it's a bunch of white dudes and like maybe there are people of color, but they haven't been like given jobs high up enough to be like, guys, no. And that people are going to like listen, you know,
decision makers. We need people of color as decision makers.
Yeah. You guys, this is a very slight tangent, but have you all seen American Fiction?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. I just watched it last night. It's literally fantastic. But there is this scene in American Fiction when they're trying to decide which book is going to win like the literary award. And it's two black authors and three white authors in a room. And they're deciding that they want this really offensive black book.
Yes.
Oh my God.
To win the number one spot. The two black authors are like, hey, yeah, maybe no. And the three white authors are like, but I love this book. Like, it's so good. Like, I really love this book. And they're like, yeah, well, three outnumbers two. So,
they're like,
and plus right now is a really good time to listen to black voices. And it's just like a silence. And it's so funny because they're not listening to the two black people in the room. Yeah. So that's what I imagine this type of situation went exactly like that. It's like, no, but we really need to elevate this type of thing. And the black folks in the room are probably like, yeah, but probably not this.
No, not you.
Right, probably not this. And they're probably like, yeah, well, but everyone else likes it. Like, so.
Right, everyone else.
But there's something that we touched on earlier is this like lack of fear of getting in trouble for doing this. And I want to put up on the board no such thing as bad press. The Hollywood Reporter writes, the backlash to this ad was swift and brutal, and Pepsi ostensibly is smarting from the mockery and damage to its reputation before it begins its count to the cost of pulling an expensively assembled global campaign after 24 hours. However, there is a silver lining of sorts. Some in the advertising industry think that the ad was deliberately created by Pepsi, mm-hmm. the company playing some of the some form of Machiavellian 4D chess. A creative at a well-known British agency who wished to remain anonymous told us that either the entire creative team and marketing team at Pepsi didn't consider even for one moment that having a vacuous, pseudo famous white rich celebrity pretend to be in a protest march was a bad idea, or they figured that the PR reach of it would be worth far more than any negative throwback.
Damn,
that is very
so
macabre.
Now I have another question for Sequoia, is that in your experience with marketing, do people put this idea out there? It's like, well, if there's backlash, then good. Like, people are talking about us.
No.
No?
Okay.
No. That's definitely not something.
That feels reckless.
It does feel really.
That's a slippery slope. Then you just get into you might as well just put out a 4chan type commercial where you're just being explicitly bad. That'll get you enough attention there too.
Gotcha.
And you're a brand, so you're not worried about losing the brand deals or whatever. Like,
right.
You're a brand. People are going to keep buying it. Never mind. Yeah. No. That's no.
Yeah.
So, like, brand above all else, like, the protecting the idea and the image is really, really important to these people.
Money above all else, but
yes,
brand above most.
I want to put that money above all else.
Yeah, I love that.
We have to put up we're going to take her right down. I don't want to blame her, but we have to put up Kendall Jenner and just acknowledge her.
You don't have to take her right down.
I don't know why we have to. Why do you think we have to bring her right down?
She was 21.
So what?
That is such a, like, I don't know. Like, don't you feel like you're still, like.
Yes. But she's also like 45 out? In, you know, because she's
entertainment
been.
Entertainment years.
Yeah.
And it took her, like, so long to come out after the fact. Like, if. You wanted the story to be like, as soon as it came out and was pulled, she was like, I was saying the whole time, this seems a little, you know, silly, but I went along with it because I, you know, I like signed a contract, but she played like, oh, I had no idea if I knew it would have hurt so many feelings, I wouldn't have done it. You're like, right, you clearly weren't like paying attention to what was on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so.
Anyway, we can talk about it later, but.
I feel like maybe something that could be blamed though is the Kardashian curse. And I want to put that with a K, a curse with a
yes.
K.
Okay.
This is from W Magazine. Luckily, the 21-year-old model is related to someone who is no stranger to controversy. This is the first time you've had a scandal, said half-sister Kim Kardashian. This is your first real experience with something like this. This is going to be the biggest lesson learned. It really sucks, but the only thing you can do is be real and honest. You can't ignore it. You can't. It should affect you in a way that you learn from it and grow from it. I just wish that you could see there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
She doesn't have any other advisors, right? Like Kim and Chris are sort of at the top of that food chain, and that they've just grown this culture of these sort of in the limelight personalities.
And the fact that they held out any kind of statement until the episode of the reality show came out, where they talked about the incident.
Self-serving. God. Yes,
it is gross. It's really gross on all levels.
If there is one thing I am, it is a Kardashian hater. That includes Jenner as well.
So. Yeah, I don't know if they're cursed. They're just jerks.
They're just fucking horrible. Yeah, no.
Well, what I mean is the curse is like we were talking about this. This was the first thing we talked about, was the one thing you don't consent to is being born, right?
Yeah,
you can't control who you're born, what family you're born into.
Fair.
Right.
So this is the thing.
The question sort of becomes like at 21,
yes.
Should she have had the maturity to kind of like known the difference between kind of like, you know, just sort of ethically What is
exploitation? And
what is exploiting? What's exploitative? What is cultural appropriation and that kind of thing? Maybe she should have. Maybe you guys are convincing me she should have. I see her at 21 and I'm like, that's a baby.
But well, you're thinking of yourself at 21. Like,
she is a baby, but she's also surrounded by a bunch of people who are also out for her best interest, like her PR team. So like, mm-hmm. what were they doing? Where they weren't mm-hmm, like, right. Hey, Kendall, but let's talk about the like actual nature of this ad. Like, are you cool? You understand that? Like, or they just were totally oblivious because they saw dollar signs and it was the biggest deal since like whatever, Cindy Crawford with Pepsi. Like, that's true. All they care about.
Or yeah. are they only there for they're only going for their own best interest. So right. they don't care that she's a 21-year-old who doesn't right. know what she's agreeing to.
Their mm-hmm. client is the head of a major Pepsi ad and looks good on their resume kind of thing. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So capitalism.
Put Kendall's people up on the board.
Kendall's people, capitalism for sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look through this list. I mean, there's so much mixing politics and brands, like social activism and brands. What are we doing?
Wild.
It's so bad.
Well, yeah. I wanted to put, I've been thinking about this concept of like, it's almost like when, like, why did Pepsi feel like they needed to wade into the like national conversation? It's like when you're at a party and like someone's debating something and you don't really know about it, but you decide to like chime in and then you instantly regret it because you're like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Sequoia is shaking her head. She's having a moment. She's so upset.
She may have a migraine.
Like, oh my God.
What is that? Like
another, it's like when Matt Rife went on the podcast with Penn Badgley, and Penn Badgley was schooling him about astrology and he felt embarrassed that he even brought up astrology at all. It's like the same thing. And
what do we call that? Just like
wading into deep waters when you don't know how to swim.
There's like an audacity too. There's like this kind of confidence ego. that
ego, that's a good, it's ego, mm-hmm.
and a brand, a delusion
that like you're the one who's going to start the conversation. I mean, that was the whole thing, right? We're starting the conversation. Oh yeah, Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like there are real like political activists, racial activists who have been working so hard.
Yeah, but they make the worst soda. Have you ever tasted their soda?
Oh God.
Careful. It is the
we're getting real.
Yes.
You know,
okay. Clearly you're a Coca-Cola guy, I guess, if you're saying that. I wonder if they reached out to any one of these activists who are very present in protesting throughout like the years leading up to this commercial. You know,
this is an assumption, but I'm going to say 100%
exactly.
No.
Exactly. Oh, and if they were, I'm sure those people would have been like, hell no, I'm not going to be involved in a Pepsi commercial that's as vague and like so bland as this is.
I mean, watch the commercial, please. The protesters are like laughing and having a good time. They're all carrying signs of like, I can't get over the signs of like painted peace signs. Like,
And that just says love and join the conversation. You're like, what's the conversation happening in this moment?
Anybody know what conversation is?
Yeah, what exactly, are we talking exactly. about?
Anybody know what we're talking about? Why are we
right. wanting? What are we talking about?
That's exactly it.
It's so laughable.
Well, and they're also, they're channeling that moment. There is like a really crazy moment. I don't know if you guys remember this, that they captured a photo of like police. They were like charging like a young black girl and she's like standing there. This is like from actual protests. Mm-hmm. And they kind of channel that when like, Kendall like walks up to the police and like gives them the Pepsi and like there's a girl capturing that moment. Like it's so, that's where it gets like really like, oh God, like you are just borrowing these iconic Gross. Images from like recent protests. But now there's branding in this image. Like it's so beating you over the head with like, buy our thing.
Mm-hmm. So that was Aisha Evans,
yes,
standing her
Aisha
ground
Evans. Uh-huh.
At Baton Rouge, and that was in July of 2016.
Right, like pretty iconic photo that was like all over the internet after that happened. And like to like kind of even go near that, you're like, what are you guys doing?
It's definitely tone deaf. Somebody thought they were making art. Somebody thought they were making like a referential.
Ooh.
Piece.
You know, I like that. Thinking you're making art.
You're making art. We're referencing things. Like, we're going to make art of it. Oh, no.
Ew. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we have a good board. I believe in our board. And we're going to take a quick break and then start knocking things off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, who's to blame for the Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial? Is it content inundation, Trump, Pepsi's marketing team, Pepsi cutting corners, lack of diverse Pepsi executives, no such thing as bad press, money above all else, Kendall Jenner, Kardashian curse, capitalism, Kendall's team, mixing politics and brands, wading into deep waters, ego, Pepsi's delusion, tone deafness, or thinking you're making art?
Something I'm realizing we probably should put up on the board as well is cultural appropriation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
Slap it on.
It's a bad
one. All right. Solid board. What the hell? Where do we begin?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like the Kendall Jenner, like we can consolidate a few of these.
Yes.
Okay. Kendall's team, yes. Kendall Jenner, Kardashian curse. Should we roll that into?
Well, Kendall Jenner was given the Kardashian curse, whether it's good or whether you think it's good or bad.
So we fold that into Kendall Jenner,
or vice versa
into Kim Kardashian personally. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Sequoia's just got a real. I like that. She's focused. She knows she knows what she wants.
Yeah,
go for it. I really want to blame Kendall's team because. Okay. What this is an ad, okay? This isn't like a performance. This isn't her art. This is a business decision.
Right.
And her business advisors should have been there with, you know, weighing out like why this would be such a
or pushing back against the Pepsi people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Or just being somebody's got to jump in there.
Okay. Looking
at so then we take off the curse and pull that into Kendall's team?
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like money above all else is like you can fold Pepsi cutting corners, you can fold capitalism into it.
Yes.
I think you can also put like you can put ego and delusion and tone deafness and thinking you're making art, like all that can go into Pepsi's marketing team. or we could just
definitely
do Pepsi
thinking
general.
You're making art.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard to blame Trump for this one.
Yeah. Sadly.
I'm sad about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
sucks.
Been slapped and maybe jailed before. No.
Yes.
Well, yeah, on the show, not in real
life. On the show, in real life. in real life, TBD.
Yeah.
TBD.
In real life, yeah, exactly.
Fingers crossed.
On the way, hopefully.
I do think we can take off No Such Thing as Bad Press, because that's an assumption. We don't know what they were thinking.
True. Yeah.
Definitely.
And based on Sequoia's experience, that doesn't seem to usually be the case.
Yeah.
But
Content inundation. I feel like maybe it's like influencing some of the people who are making big decisions, but I don't know if we can directly blame that for this ad.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't put up here is influencers in general, like the need for brands to latch on to influencers.
Tap onto popular people. Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast about this, and it has to do with consumers not trusting brands anymore and only trusting like word of mouth. And then we've created this like market for fake word of mouth, which one might call like influencers that don't have like millions of followers. They're
micro influencers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, I don't know. It's just all facade. It's all brand. At the end of the day, it's just brands trying to sell you things.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sell.
Okay. So, what do we have here? We've got Pepsi's marketing team. We've got a lack of diverse Pepsi executives. I see Sequoia circling that.
I watched that one.
Kendall's team. So when you say Kendall's team, it doesn't have the
oomph. Same. Yeah, I know.
No, it's true.
Kill you know, it.
Kendall's Kill clan. It. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God, with a K.
No, yes, we can't.
Kendall's clan with a K.
Oh God. They probably are. Right.
But yeah, for sure. Mixing politics and brands. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Wading into deep waters.
Which just goes back into, I think we can fall that into Pepsi people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And cultural appropriation.
Politics and brands can fold into Pepsi's marketing team, I think.
I feel like cultural appropriation can be folded into Kendall's team. They do it. They do that shit all the time. So.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You're getting your little hit in on there on the Kardashians there. That's good.
Yeah. So, there you go. Got it.
So
this is strong three that we have left now.
I feel like here's what I'm thinking, and you guys tell me what you think. I think we send the lack of diversity amongst Pepsi executives to the alarmist jail.
Yes.
Okay.
And we slap Kendall's team.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, those are the two big contenders in this whole thing that like have all the power.
Mm-hmm.
Her team, she's a big celebrity model. She's got a team, and they are the Pepsi people who are making the ad with her. So those are the people talking, and ultimately, like, if any pushback comes from either one of them, that's when the conversation starts. But there clearly was none.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, and I'm scrolling down the PepsiCo leadership team, and I think we got it right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We're getting confirmation.
Sounds
right. Yeah. And we got our eye on you, in-house marketing team. spend the cash. Get an outside agency.
Hire Dentsu.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to call it. I'm calling it. Kendall's team, you're getting the big slap. Lack of diversity amongst Pepsi executives, you're going to the alarmist jail. Sequoia, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us like get to the bottom of this cultural disaster.
I'm so happy we were able to solve it together. Thank you.
Despite the massive backlash, PepsiCo saw no real monetary consequence from creating the world's most tone-deaf commercial. And in the years following the release of the ad, Kendall Jenner's Instagram followers ballooned from 77 million to 246 million. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes,
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram @thealarmistpodcast and on Twitter @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clinton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be rewinding and discussing one of our first episodes, The Donner Party. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.